This is a FUBAR Radio podcast. For more information, go to FUBARradio.com.
Nick Helm and Nathaniel Metcalf's fan club on FUBAR Radio.
Ain't got time to tweet. here we are in the FUBAR studio. I've got my Star Wars pants on. I've got my Ash vs. Evil Dead socks on. I've got my American Werewolf in London t-shirt on. It can only mean one thing, Nat.
That's fan club.
What's that?
It's what?
I said I'm going to say one thing in the beginning, and all you have to say is what's
that?
You're a cunt, mate.
That was about 20 minutes ago.
This is the beginning. This is the first beginning of. This is the beginning of a new year.
It is bad because we did have a rehearsal as well.
This is the first time I've ever included you in my process. And if this is the way it's going to go on, 2019 is already fucked.
What's that?
I got my. Oh, okay.
Yeah, Nick Helm and Nathaniel Metcalf's fan club on FUBAR Radio.
Ain't got time to tweet. Got time to duck? No, neither have I got time to duck or tweet. It's a little reference from my favourite film of all time, The Predators. if I was in a band, I'd call us. No, more of a 70s band.
A lot of people have been called that since.
Oh, we shouldn't laugh, really. So I've got my Star Wars pants on, I've got my Ash vs. Evil Dead socks on, and I've got my American Werewolf in London t-shirt on. It can only mean one thing, Nat.
What's that?
Midlife crisis.
Yes.
So that was it.
It was worth it.
It would have been better if we hadn't let you behind the magician's, the wizard's curtain, which is a reference to Wizard of Oz, which was, of course, the first film to feature sound and colour. So, people won't know which facts to believe.
Yeah, if we just say them all, though, people will.
Just keep spouting them out. My name's Nick Helm.
My name's Nathaniel Metcalf.
And you're listening to the Legion of Fans fan club. Chocky Wocky Doodah. fan club. First rule of fan club is
tell your friends
about fan club. Second rule of fan club is
please tell your friends.
Third rule of fan club, again, tell your friends. Fourth rule of fan club, please, honestly, we're not joking this time, neither have we the first three times, but tell your friends. Fifth rule of fan club, take your shoes off.
When you're in someone else's
Not
house,
really. Maybe. It's tell your friends. Please tell your friends. Tell your friends.
Take your shoes off now and just chill out and have a nice time.
Sixth rule of fan club, no heavy petting in the shallow end.
Yes.
Or the deep end. No bombing. Yes. In the deep end or the shallow end.
I've just thought, should we tell?
That's not really. It's tell your friends. Tell your friends.
Shall we tell the listeners about what happened to us when you went to get your sparkling water?
Well, I do think that this is something. Something to say. So me and Nat meet at the Starbucks around the corner promptly at 11.
Promptly every week.
Every week, Nat is there at 5 to 11.
About 5 to 11 usually. Yeah,
at 5 to 11, promptly.
I live, across town, don't I? So I'll try and get there
across
early.
Town.
It's hard to predict it exactly. Because I've got to get tubes and things, you never know. So I try and get there maybe a little bit early, so I can got a bit of time to kill.
Well, it's difficult, isn't it? It's like landing a jumbo jet on a pin prick.
Exactly.
On a gnat prick.
Landing it on a pin and calling me a prick?
I meant like a gnat, as in an insect, like something I could just swat. an amoeba's prick. It's like landing a jumbo jet on an amoeba's prick.
It's not actually like that.
It's
so
difficult
much.
Getting across London, isn't it? It's like landing a jumbo jet.
I think technically a jumbo jet will probably always land in an amoeba's prick. Because anything, isn't it?
Several. Do amoebas have... Natalie.
Can you Google amoeba pricks, please?
Can you just look up to see if amoebas have sexual organs? Oh, and thank you for all your fan letters. Please keep sending them in. So it's difficult getting from one side of London to another because you never know who's going to be doing what on the way.
It could be, bloody hell, the Piccadilly line or whatever. Anything like that could happen, couldn't it?
We are announcing a good service on all lines. This is bordering on hard-hitting material.
Oh, yeah. This is proper radio, though, isn't it? This is proper, like comedian's radio. This is breakfast radio.
I've made some notes, and I'm going to read them out. But yeah.
I'll tell you what, right?
Do you know what? If there's a good service on all lines, don't announce it.
Yes,
that's the least you should be doing.
Thanks.
What I bloody think. And if you don't live in London, I pity you.
God, what about Southern Rail, eh? Oh. More like Southern Snail.
more like Southern.
Go on. It'd be a good one. No, it's good. Have faith in it. Just say it.
More like Southern Walking's faster. News just in, amoebas don't have genitals.
Oh, that's interesting.
So you get there about 5:00. I just live around the corner, though, don't I?
I just live around the corner.
It's quite convenient for me.
You don't even have to get any public transport, do you?
Don't have to get any public transport.
You can predict exactly how long it take you to get there, really.
Can't predict last-minute things like, not being able to find your trousers.
That was one week, wasn't it?
Today was... I haven't quite finished an extra feature on the Blu-ray of Brian... Brian De Palma's body double.
Oh, yeah.
And there was like a few minutes left to go, and I knew that I had to be there. But, I think every week you're there about 10:55 a.m. I get there about 11:17.
Yeah.
Thereabouts. Yeah. Full of apologies, though, to be fair to me, Nat.
I
think I've apologised every week.
You're the bigger man.
I admit when I'm wrong.
So you're just watching... extra features on Body Double.
Yeah.
So you're just watching extra features on a mucky film from the 80s.
From the 80s, Body Double. I'm not quite ready to get into that.
No.
But...
hold that thought.
I didn't realise that Body Double was considered to be a dirty movie.
Well, I think it was, wasn't it? I think it was the idea that it was almost like a mainstream... sort of softcore porn film, wasn't that? Was the idea?
I think that was the thing, and on all the extra features, everyone's talking like it was like this really kind of like fucking hell. He basically made a porn film.
They didn't really, though.
But I've been bombarded with so much pornography for the last 20 years that it was almost like watching an episode of The Smurfs.
Nice.
Which is blue, but in a different way.
Yes.
That's not the sort of blue movie I'm talking about.
2019, we're back. Nailed it. Actually nailed it.
I suppose if you want to update that joke for 2019, you could swap it for Avatar.
Avatar. Yeah, yeah.
Something
for everyone.
So I picked you up from Starbucks, full of apologies and New Year's wishes. And we went, and I wasn't going to go into NISA today, but I normally go into NISA to get myself, in the olden days, in the early days of the show.
It is NISA as well, it's not NISA.
Oh.
Because I was in a NISA before Christmas, and it had a NISA radio, like they used to have in Virgin Megastore. I don't know who does that job. Like, hi, this is NISA. And I was like, really? So they've got like a head office that obviously do like a...
NISA
their own,
radio.
Yeah, radio station.
I was doing Whamageddon.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Well,
I wasn't doing Whamageddon. I just hadn't heard the song. And then I was in I was in the corner shop around the corner. And I didn't... I was only in there because I was waiting for an Uber. So I had to... I had minutes to kill. And I went in and then they played Wham. And I was just like, I'll just pretend I didn't hear it. And then I got in the Uber and they were playing the same radio station. I was like, wow, that's annoying. So I was out 1st of December. I was like really, really quite late on. I got to about the 22nd of December before I heard it. And then I was fucking livid because I wasn't playing along. And then I was just like, hang on a minute, I haven't actually heard it yet. It's an erotic thriller, we're being told. Yeah, we know it's an erotic thriller. But I would say something,
NISA say it should be pronounced nicer.
Well, I was in Sainsbury's, which is over the road. And I was looking at nicer. And I was thinking, the shops really are nicer on the other side, aren't they? Yes.
Lovely.
Lovely stuff. So that was good. Anyway, so we went in there. I wasn't going to go in. In the early days, I would get myself a Pepsi Max Cherry.
Cherry. Two.
Two bottles. Mm-hmm. Yeah, one for the first half of the show and one for the walk home, because I'd have a bit too much pop for actual radio purposes. But then I'm still on a health kick, but obviously Christmas got in the way a bit, and I was very ill. I've been very ill for about 6-7 weeks.
Oh, no.
Yeah, but we don't want to get into that. But needless to say, we've got about 3 more fan clubs left in me, and then that's going to have to replace me.
Yeah.
So now I drink fizzy water, but I wasn't going to go into NISA today. NISA. Mm. But you...
I sort of went,
You sort of hovered outside the door.
Because I think I'm so used to you normally going in, and I like a routine. It's got a nice sort of routine to you, popping in and going, do you know what you normally go to NISA?
Let's call the whole thing off.
NISA.
That was me opening my NISA. Let's call the whole thing NISA. That's actually how they came up with the title. Is this a show?
I think it is technically just because it is.
It's just because it's on. I mean, this isn't even the sort of chat we would have in real life anymore.
No, but I'm quite enjoying it. This feels almost... I think we're getting to the point where it's becoming arty.
RTDT.
My
favourite droid. he's got a little Andy Warhol haircut. Little paintbrushes come out of him.
Actually, do you know what? If any of our fan club artists want to do an artist impression of RTDT, love to see that.
Don't. I wouldn't. I can... nothing that classes. They can do is better than the imagination I have in my mind's eye.
Do you know what I'm picturing? It's like Andy Warhol is a droid. I'm sort of imagining like R2-D2 a glass. A bit like Elton John. Looking slightly like Elton John. Sort of got... yeah.
Did I say this before? The Christmas advert. You know, there's the Elton John Christmas advert.
Oh, yeah,
when it kept going back and back and back. And then he ended... and I thought a really funny ending to that would be him opening up a box at the end and it was his first wig. It's like where it all began. So we went into NISA and we were walking around the aisles, and you didn't notice this, but these two kids came in.
I saw two kids were there. Like,
well, they were staring at me, I thought.
Oh,
and
right,
I was
okay.
Like, oh, bloody hell, they've recognised me off. Recognised me off bloody telly. They've recognised me off bloody BBC Three. They've recognised me off YouTube.
And,
actually, being on YouTube is quite a... you know, you could only dream to be a YouTube sensation these days. How times have changed. But we were walking along the aisle, picked up my fizzy water.
Yeah.
And they were like looking and nudging each other and pointing. And I was like, oh,
I saw they were there, but I didn't see this.
I haven't got a bloody Sharpie on me. I don't know what I'm going to do when I actually bump
You'll
into
probably have
them.
To do a couple of selfies, wouldn't you?
Bloody hell. Started doing my finger exercises so I could do the peace sign without my brittle bones cracking. We got up to, and then we got.
We saw the woman was laughing, wasn't she, behind the counter?
Yeah,
and
like they'd said, oh, bloody hell, you never guess that we've got genuine bona fide celebrity.
Yeah. I thought that's what it was. I thought the woman was going, oh, and I thought she was going to say something like, oh, they were a fan of you. I thought that's what it was going
to
be.
Yeah, mate, welcome to my world.
Yeah.
And we got to the counter, and the woman behind the counter
was laughing.
The two guys had just left, and the woman behind the counter, in hysterics, said, they just told me that you two are what those guys will look like in 50 years.
50 years.
50 years. 50 years.
They were probably, what, early 20s?
They were either like late teen. I mean, they're talking about what they would look like when they were 71. It's like, fucking hell. Fucking hell. It really did. Like, it did. It was a real wake up call to think, Nick, you're still in your 30s. Why are you wearing a green cardigan and brown cords? That's what I thought. That's what I thought. I blamed it on my shoes from Clarks. But fucking hell.
Yes.
And I said, it's the sort of, I was just like, why did she tell us?
I know.
Why did she tell us?
And she couldn't. But it was a proper laugh. It weren't like a kind of, you won't believe all these. She was like, as we were approaching, she was like laughing.
She was laughing, kind of, like,
go
yes,
on, tell us a fun story.
You're right.
Yeah.
They do look like they're in their 70s. Look at these old cunts. Fucking hell. And I was just like, she said it, and we like laughed. We laughed along.
Yeah.
But then down the road,
we sort of started to,
10 feet down the road, yeah, we started contemplating our mortality, and it was.
I mean, we are in our 70s now, so we've got to start thinking about it.
It was pretty bleak.
Start thinking about our Parker pens and our funeral arrangements,
well, of course,
so we don't have to be a burden on our families.
Kids in their 20s haven't heard of BBC Three.
Of course not.
It goes BBC One, BBC Two, BBC Four.
That's all they've heard of. Yeah, that's, all it is.
That's all they ever knew.
There's probably going to be jokes soon, isn't there, about why there's no...
Anyway, so it reminded me of a time when in about 2009, I was auditioning for a McCoy's Crisps advert. And what it was, because this is the sort of thing that I was just like, this is the sort of, when that woman said, this is when they were like, those kids were saying that this is what they'd look like in 50 years. And I was thinking, why would you tell us? I was thinking, this is the sort of thing that my agent will say to me. And I'll be like, why did you tell me that? And it will spiral me out. And I was auditioning for like a McCoy's Crisps advert in 2009. So 10 years ago, fucking hell. And I remember, and I was really good at advert auditions. Like, I'm terrible at auditions. Like, I'm absolute. Like, I still, like, wake up with cold sweats thinking about, oh, God. Like, I vomit in my mouth going, oh, my God, that was such a cringeworthy audition, you know? I did a Game of Thrones audition once, and it was so awful. It was so awful. I went in, and I forgot my words, and I was going, oh, you fucking cunt!
That's late. You can swear on that show, though, so it's probably seen as quite authentic.
The woman that was fucking holding the audition for me was, like, horrified by how much I was swearing at myself, and it was just like full of self-loathing, and then I left, and it was like, oh God, I always thought that if I had to audition for Uncle, I wouldn't have got it. So auditioning is like a skill in itself, which I have never mastered, right? And anyway, but with adverts, I was always really good because I didn't give a shit about getting an advert, and I'd do it for like the experience of doing an audition, and I did this advert audition, and they were looking for a set of three guys, right? So they were casting three guys. They weren't casting just me, but if they were going to cast me, they'd have to cast two other guys that were complimentary to me. Right, so there's three of us, yeah?
Yeah.
And we had to do a load of improv, like, I think we did like maybe three or four.
So you're improvising with other people there as well?
Yeah, and basically what you do in an advert audition when you're improvising is you're writing the script for them. You don't get the part, but then, you know, a year later you'll see your improv on TV and you go, I wrote that. So we did like three or four auditions with all these guys, with these other guys, and... and we all got the part. We were down to the final. There was two sets of guys that got it, and so we were like, there was us three, and then there was like a B team that were the other three, and we were all waiting to find out whether we were going to travel to Ireland to film this advert. And right at the last minute, it was like, it was one of those things where it's just kind of like, I'm just about to go to Edinburgh, so I might have to put Edinburgh on hold. You know, don't know, right? And it was right up to the last minute, and then my agent phoned me up, and she said, well, pack your bags for Edinburgh, because that Crisps advert, that's gone away. And when your agent says that's gone away, that means they didn't want you. Like, get over it. She goes, that's gone away. And I was just like, okay, that's gone away. She goes, I was like, oh, all right, that's a shame. She goes, yeah, they said, what with the current obesity crisis hitting the UK, they thought that you were the wrong person to be representing their product. And I was like, What?
Why would they tell that to anyone?
Why would they tell that to my agent? Yeah. But why would my agent tell me that? It was just like, this is 10 years ago. I was 10 years lighter, right? And it was like, even when I've lost loads of weight recently, I'm still not as light as I was 10 years ago. And it's just like, you go, fucking hell. And it's just like, not only did I lose my job, but I lost two other people's jobs.
It'd be worse, though, if you turned on the advert and it's just those two with another guy.
Well, funnily enough, the advert came out like 3 years later, and no one was any lighter than I was.
Right.
I just think that maybe it was that we were too tall.
That must be it.
Must have been it. But it was like, I do think it's funny that my agent just said, yeah I know. You're too fat to advertise crisps. That's what McCoy said. It's just like, oh, that's probably why, and for a similar reason, why I didn't get that Magnus commercial as well. I was too drunk to be advertising Magnus. Because, yeah, they think actually by walking into the audition with piss all over your trousers and shit in your pants, then that probably gave them the red flag there. They decided not to cast you. We've still got a bit of time before we play our first song, haven't we?
Oh, yeah.
So,
play a game.
So I went to the New Forest for a few days. Oh, I'll tell you this. I went to the New Forest for a few days, Airbnb. Did you have a good Christmas, by the way, Nat?
It was all right, yeah. Not bad.
Yeah.
Yeah, how was your Christmas, Nick?
Thank you. It was great. It was as good as... I mean, you put those people in that room for those many hours and sparks will fly. So I went to the New Forest for 4 days just to get away from it all. What I really like about Edinburgh, I think we talked about it because my parents have like a gîte.
Oh, yeah, yes.
Where they put all of their... A gîte is like... you're looking confused there. A gîte, Natalie, in the... control room. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I'd hesitate there because I've got the controls in front of me. So what the fuck are you doing? So Natalie in the control room. What was I going to say to you? A gîte is like a cottage. It's a cottage in France. My parents, my dad spent all of his retirement money on a gîte in France. And what they have is they have all of their kind of like B DVDs and the ones that you get off the front of the mirror and stuff like that. So when you go out there, it's kind of like you have like Brief Encounter as part of a 2-disc set that also contains Wings of Desire or something like that, where it's like, but there's only ever one of the discs.
In a way, it's probably where you should put your good DVDs, isn't it? Because you're probably sat somewhere watching a lot of films and things, aren't you?
There's also like Narrow Margin. They had Narrow Margin, and what was that Alec Baldwin, Nicole Kidman, Bill Pullman film?
Malice. God, yeah. I love Malice.
It's great. Like, that is a fucking film. But it's all of these films where you go, I would never occur to me to watch that.
Mm.
And then when you're trapped in the middle of nowhere, you go, well, I guess we're watching Malice tonight. I guess we're watching Narrow Margin tonight. And, they're good. Anyway, so we stayed in this Airbnb in the New Forest. And fucking hell, it was... Now, they said, we've got a selection of DVDs. So no need to bring anything. We've got DVD player, selection of DVDs. Very relaxing. And they're not bad films,
mm-hmm.
but you'd be hard pressed to pick one that you'd go, that, I'm going to watch that. Mm. I thought, before I'd seen the selection, I reckon I'll watch about 6 DVDs while I go away. Ended up getting through 2 over 4 nights or 3 nights. So I'll just read some of them out. And then you stop me when there's a film that you want to dedicate one of your evenings, one of your evenings of your holiday to. There were 4 shelves of about 20 DVDs, okay? Meet the Parents, Atonement, The Road, The Nightmare Before Christmas, Layer Cake, Brief Encounter, Skeletons, Casino, Buffalo 66, Moulin Rouge, Rules of Engagement, Men in Black 2, Life of Brian, Notes on a Scandal, 8 Mile, March of the Penguins, Hard Candy, Batman Begins, Burn After Reading, a collection of short films. A collection of short films. Black Books Volume 2. A collection of short films. Another collection of short films. Now we're on to the second shelf. Twilight. A collection of short films.
Why are there so many collections of short films?
The Pursuit of Happiness. Lost in Translation. Road to Position. London to Brighton. Moonrise Kingdom. The Charlie Chaplin Collection. Crash. Angela. Moulin Rouge. Again. Frost Nixon. This is the one that really got me, right? Frost Nixon. Soho Theatre Live. Pajama Men. In the middle of nowhere. I think you can only buy that from behind the counter at the Soho Theatre. Phone Booth. Gravity. Guide to Recognising Your Saints. Schindler's List. The Diving Bell and the Butterfly. Bel Ami, which I thought was a documentary about David Bellamy, but it's not.
Yes!
I don't know what that is. Gregory's Girl.
Gregory's Girl I'd watch.
Yeah, right. That was one of the... I mean, stuff like Batman Begins, I've obviously...
Yeah, sure. Like, there's good films in there.
I've obviously seen that.
Yeah.
You know? Like Meet the Parents. Not a bad film.
No.
But I'm not going to fucking go... Do you know what? I'm on my holidays. I'm going to sit down. And like, none of these are bad films. Do you know what I mean? But they're so sort of like, oh, I don't know if I've got the...
Yeah, and also it feels like they all feel like the kind of films that are already on ITV3 if you just turned them on anyway.
I would rather punch myself in the bollocks for an hour than, you know, just dedicate 2 hours.
Oh, good point. Which Crash was it, says Natalie?
I think it was the Sandra Bullock one.
Sandra Bullock, not the Cronenberg.
No, it wasn't Cronenberg, I don't know. That would be fucking Cronenberg. Okay, right. Shall I keep going?
Yes, please.
Okay. This one is one DVD with three films on it.
Okay.
That are all...
One of them must be good.
Well, they're all good. Mm? But they're all the films that I've got on my TV box at Sky, my Sky box, going, should we watch this tonight? Nah. Shawshank Redemption, Ronin, sure. Heat.
Okay.
You go, fuck me, Jesus Christ. It's like, and I really want to see Ronin again because I remember it being...
Oh, it's just Ronin before Christmas. Being great. Really good, yeah.
But Heartlands, this is a theme, Badlands, right? That is the top two shelves. I had to do it in two photos, but I thought this would fill some time. But like, literally, there's nothing right now. And you go, what about some David Fincher? Absolutely. Panic Room? Oh. the Laurel and Hardy Collection. Ordinary People. The House of Sand and Fog. Want some comedy? My yes, Big please. Fat Greek Wedding.
No, thank you.
Tati Danielle. Down Terrace, which I do really want to see, but...
it is good. It's really good.
I just wasn't in the mood. Yeah, of course. You know? Men in Black, 1.
Good, we had Men in Black 2 earlier, so that's good. We've got the first one.
Water Lilies, Closer, About Schmid, Paris Your Tame, Hobbit, An Unexpected Journey.
just 1/3 of The Hobbit.
Or as I am now calling it, Hobbit, An Unexpected...
Sequel.
An Unexpected Faulty Disc. Sully, Miracle on the Hudson. Oh! How about some Clint Eastwood, Tom Hanks action? Sully, Tim Burton, Dark Shadows.
Lovely.
Somersault.
I forgot about Dark Shadows.
Dirty Pretty Things. Spielberg, you want some Spielberg?
Yes, please, that sounds good.
Munich,
okay.
The Dark Knight, The Usual Suspects. Of course, you can't watch that anymore. Tainted. Far From Heaven, Traffic. You could watch that as part of a traffic crash.
Yes,
kind
exactly.
Of double bill.
Is that Sandra Bullock in Traffic as well?
No, but it's kind of like one of them multi-strand story things, isn't it? Yeah. How about some George Clooney?
Yeah.
Good night and good luck.
Right.
Fuck me. How about some George Clooney? Ocean's 11. Yeah. Fancy some more comedy? Borat. Hey, here's a triple bill for you. About a Boy, Love Actually, Notting Hill. Skins, complete first and second series.
That's a curveball.
Sideways.
Your mum and dad in their sheet have Skins.
No, this isn't my mum and dad's sheet.
Oh, sorry.
This is in the Airbnb.
Oh, of course. Right. Sorry, I was forgetting. Hang on.
Inglourious Basterds. And you go, that's a great film, but fucking hell. You know, how many times have I seen that? St. Elmo's Fire. Hey, how about some Harrison Ford? All right, okay. Yeah, yeah. Indiana Jones and the Kingdom of the Crystal Skull.
Nah, well, that's the only one they've got.
Yeah. Shutter Island, or as I like to call it, Shitter Island, because that's what the font looks like when you see it on its side. Yeah. A Single Man in Bruges. That'd be good, if only I hadn't seen it 2 weeks ago. hey, how about some Jerry Lewis, Funny Bones? More Ben Stiller.
I love Funny Bones.
Night at the Museum. The Sound of Music. I'm not spending 3 hours watching The Sound of Music, although that is actually one of my all-time favourite films. Son of Rambo. Mm-hmm. Creating Lords of the Rings Symphony.
What's that? A documentary about
That's a documentary
the
about the music for
a
composer's journey through Middle Earth.
Oh, dear. Thank you.
Lord of the Rings, The Return of the King. Supernatural, Volume 2.
Wow.
And The Woodsman. Yeah, that's right. The hard-hitting movie about paedophilia.
Do that on your holidays.
And finally, The Butterfly Effect. And I imagine this is like a butterfly effect, because with a DVD collection like this on this side of the world, on the other side of the world, there must be a really great DVD collection. That's my butterfly effect. It was, yeah. So I ended up watching Tati Daniel, which is a French film about, called basically Auntie Daniel.
Okay.
Non-French speakers.
Out there.
And that was about a horrible old aunt who, it was such a weird film, because on paper you go, yeah, I know what that is. And in fact, when I read the plot synopsis afterwards, you go, yeah, but that's not what the film is. The film is about a horrible aunt that gets, I've never heard of it before. And it's about a horrible old woman who is horrible to everyone, delights in being horrible to everyone. It's like a light comedy, but she's just horrible to everyone. And then she gets taken in by her nephew, who has a grown-up nephew with a family. And they go on holiday to Greece, and when they go on, and she's horrible to them, really horrible. So they ended up hiring a nurse to look after her. And then the nurse is sort of like a no-bullshit nurse who takes her down a peg, and they end up respecting each other. And you go, yeah, I know. I kind of know what that film is. It's about. It's like a Christmas Carol. It's like someone learns to be a better person by the end of it. And that's not what the film is. That's the plot synopsis. And then at the end of the film, but basically, this nurse turns up and she's in it for 10 minutes, and then she fucks off again. And then it's kind of like. And then there's meant to be this huge kind of like dramatic. It was a weird, weird, weird film. And then I followed that up with About Schmidt, which I hadn't seen since 2002. Oh, yeah. And it's not as funny as you think it is, but Jack Nicholson is incredible in it. Like, he's sort of incredible. He's never not Jack Nicholson.
Yeah.
This is Jack Nicholson just being a regular old man, but he cannot not be Jack Nicholson. His eyebrow. But it's such a very still, silent performance.
Is Jack Nicholson retired?
I don't know. What's the last thing he did? Bucket List?
God, yeah, probably, isn't it?
And that was like 10 years ago. Yeah. And I saw an advert the other day saying, go on holiday, make this part of your bucket list. And he goes, is bucket list now just a phrase that we all use?
Yeah. It's part of the parlance. I reckon it's probably about that. It's one of those things, isn't it, that people just say now.
I don't like it.
I don't.
I just think it's like one of them kind of like, it's like people's princess. It's like when Princess Diana died and everyone was being interviewed. How did you feel about Princess Diana? And people in the streets were like going, well, she was the people's princess. And you go, you've literally just heard that phrase.
Yes, and now you're
just
repeated it.
And now you're just repeating it. It was fucking, nobody walked around thinking Princess Diana was the fucking people's princess. How do you know? Last film Jack Nicholson did, I guess.
I don't know. How do you know?
I could watch Jack Nicholson waxing lyrical about the people's princess. I love Jack Nicholson. Anyway, so we were in this little it was a cottage in the New Forest, and they had one of these Ridley's Games Rooms movie buff quizzes that you get from Waterstones. Yeah?
Yes, exactly. Counter item.
So it's a movie buff quiz, and I was playing it with my lover, and she was. It's one of those things where people go, "Oh, you know everything about films, you do, don't you? You know everything about films," and you go, "Well, I don't know everything about films," and they go, "Okay, right." And then the first question was. And what they are, they're questions, and you have four answers that you can, you know.
Multiple choice.
A,
so that must be quite hard.
A, B, C, or D, right?
Okay.
And the first question that I asked her was, who played?
Yeah.
Who played? Bearing in mind, we've just seen about Schmidt.
Yes.
Who played the Joker in Tim Burton's 1989 film, Batman? And she goes, "I don't know."
Wow.
And like the
is it multiple choice as well?
Multiple choice was sort of like Leonardo DiCaprio, Heath Ledger, Jack Nicholson, Robert De Niro. And she was just like, I don't know.
Wow.
And it's just kind of like you go, so it's not like the fact that, what am I trying to say here? It's like, if you don't know that, then there's very little you can do to, but I just think that's one of those things that everyone knows.
Yeah.
So just to know that Jack Nicholson played Batman, played the Joker in Batman, does not make you a movie buff.
Yeah.
That just means that you've been living on the planet Earth, right?
Oh, so what, though,
so to not know that is a I think maybe the point of the game should be, here are some fucking obvious facts, and you get more points for genuinely not knowing them.
I know a fun fact, actually, about the Phantom Menace, Nick. Do you want to hear me? Fun fact.
Well, there's got to be some fun to be had from film, hasn't there?
Yeah, I got it from the Christian Radio Times, remember? The in the film, so Jabba the Hutt from Return of the Jedi.
Mm.
Yeah, well, in Phantom Menace, he's all CGI, isn't he? And he appears at the pod race.
Oh, yeah.
At the end of the film, he's listed. It's got all the cast coming up. Jake Lloyd, he's Anakin Skywalker.
As himself, he's himself.
Jabba the Hutt says it.
Yeah,
himself.
We talked about this before Christmas.
Yeah. Did you? But it's a fun fact, isn't it?
It's weird that you, it's weird that you've got that fact because so anyway.
I thought it was a fun fact.
So I was in Waterstones yesterday.
Bit of fun, isn't it?
Buying some books. Oh yeah. And
what, in Waterstones?
Yeah. Wow. Yeah. And I saw that they had one of these games rooms and I thought, I'll buy it.
Yeah.
And we'll leave it at Fubar Studio and every week I'll ask you a question and we'll see if you get it right.
See if I can get it right. Okay. Will I get the multiple choice as
well?
What
I will say is I knew the answer to every single one of these without using the multiple choice.
This is what happens when I do quizzes at home. It's like I've ruined it by knowing the answers.
And you just
like,
go,
you've ruined this game. It's like, I just thought it was, I don't know, it makes you want to get the answers wrong.
Yeah, exactly. It's just like, what year was Jaws made?
1975.
Of course, everybody knows that, right? 1975. The year the Earth changed, right? and what year was Star Wars? 77.
77.
Yeah. What year was Terminator? 84.
84.
It's just like, it's just, these are, it doesn't make you, you know, like fucking, who directed Goodfellas?
It's Martin Scorsese.
It's just like, these aren't hard questions, but you either know it or you don't know it.
Yeah.
If you don't know it, you go, well, I don't know.
Yeah.
But it's just like, they're not, it's not like you don't have to be a movie buff to know that stuff. It's just kind of like, no, that's what the guy did. Anyway,
I'll tell you something, though. Something that might add something to this was that I saw the other day someone mentioning that this year is the 30th anniversary of Batman. Okay. Yeah, it is, isn't it? Yeah.
There's a fucking, oh, it's the 40th anniversary of Alien.
Oh, wow.
But I wasn't born for Alien, so that always felt like before my time. I'm actually surprised that it was made so close to my birth. But you were alive. You must be feeling pretty bad.
Yeah. Doesn't help when people think that's what they look like in 50 years.
God fucking, this is
maybe
what
it's because we
look
really good for 70. I mean, God, I hope I look good for 70.
Fucking hell. I mean, what a fucking. Anyway, so I'm going to ask you.
50 years.
I'll ask you. We'll see how many. We'll get through five and then I'll play a song.
Okay.
What role is played by Adam Driver in the 2015 movie Star Wars The Force Awakens?
Kylo Ren.
Is it A, Finn?
Right.
B, Rey? C, Kylo Ren? D, Poe Dameron?
D. A four-part multiple choice. Is it C?
It's Kylo Ren. Kylo so you got Ren, it right. Yeah. You got it right straight away without... I mean, okay. Is this a Star Wars The Force Awakens set? No. Star Wars The Force Awakens is set how many years after Return of the Jedi?
Oh.
That's quite a...
Yeah. I'd tell you, what's it meant to be, about 30?
30.
Right.
I mean, if you want to know, it was A50, B30, C40, D60. Okay. It should have been A50, B30, C3PO, and D60.
And RTDT.
BB-8. RTDT.
Lovely.
Okay.
Lovely image.
Who plays the lead character in Mad Max Fury Road?
Tom Hardy.
Is it A, Tom Hardy? B, Benedict Cumberbatch? C, Eddie Redmayne? And D, Nicholas Hoult?
Are they actually the other options?
Yeah.
So it's saying, so if someone's going, oh, I don't know, who could play Mad Max now? If they didn't know, there's an option where people think Benedict Cumberbatch or Eddie Redmayne could play Mad Max.
Or Nicholas Hoult, but Nicholas Hoult was in it, wasn't he?
So. Yeah, yeah.
Okay, I think this probably needs a shuffle. How many Oscars did Mad Max Fury Road pick up in February 2016?
I don't know.
That is a difficult one. So we're going to go to multiple choice here.
Okay.
Was it A5? Was it B3? Was it C8? Or was it D6? You either know it or you don't know.
Well, I was going to say, before you said the multiple choice, 3.
Is that your final answer?
That's my final answer.
Really? Even after I did that? I mean, I'm your friend here.
Okay, 5.
Is that your final answer?
What was it? I want 8. 8.
It was 6.
6.
That was 6. Wow. How many was that? I think you got 3 right. Got 3 out of 4.
Well, that puts me head to head with Sam Ashurst, who got 3. And
well, let's see how many I do.
Okay.
There you go. And then, then we'll play a song.
What is the name of the little girl in the 2015 movie Inside Out?
I don't know.
There we go. Is it A, Riley? Is it B, Miley? Is it C, Emily? Or is it D, Sally? I wouldn't have known this either. I presume the answer is the one that's highlighted, right?
Yeah. I don't know why there's another one highlighted. Does that mean you get half a point for that? What does that mean?
Yeah, maybe. But that's just the wrong answer, isn't
it? Now, I would say Emily is not the right answer because it sounds like too much of a standard name. That if you're going to be creative, you wouldn't imagine a name.
And all those Pixar people are very creative, aren't they? Do drawings, didn't they, and that.
And so you wouldn't imagine that if they can draw, they probably wouldn't go Emily. What's the last one? Sally. I think Sally is kind of like, isn't she the name of the one out of Nightmare Before Christmas and stuff like that? And I think Sally is kind of like a well-used name. And then Miley and Riley, they rhyme. Mm-hmm. And Miley Cyrus is the thing. Mm-hmm. So I would think probably Riley.
Riley is the correct answer.
Is it?
Lovely stuff.
But that wasn't me being a film buff.
No, that was just working it out through logic.
Just being...
Who directed the 2015 sci-fi movie The Martian?
Ridley Scott.
It was Ridley Scott, yeah. But also, was it David Fincher?
No.
Was it J.J. Abrams?
No.
Was it Martin Scorsese?
No.
Was it Ridley Scott?
Yes.
Yeah, it was, yeah.
Yeah. I hated that film.
Yeah, it might need a shuffle. Who stars in the 2015
Matt
sci-fi
Damon.
Movie? Yeah. Caleb Smith is the main character in which 2015 movie? Wouldn't have known this.
Oof, go on.
Is it A, The Martian? Is it B, Inside Out? Is it C, Ex Machina? Is it D, The Revenant? I think I would have guessed wrong on this as well.
The Revenant.
That's what I would have guessed.
But it's not. What is it?
Ex Machina.
That was my other guess. It's obviously not Inside Out.
No.
We've already established that.
Yeah, it's Riley, wasn't it?
So how many did I get? 3?
3. Same.
Same as you. Bloody hell. You've heard it here first.
That's fine.
Me and Nat are exactly as good as each other.
Parenting.
On FUBAR Radio.
And we're back. I was just thinking, did you watch that Kurt Russell Christmas film?
No, I haven't. I didn't dare, really.
Fucking hell. Fucking hell. Fucking hell. Kurt Russell's not to blame.
No.
But fucking hell. I mean... fucking hell. It was so fucking
hell.
Two-word
review?
Two-word review.
Yeah, if you could just sum it up in two words.
Fucking hell.
Nice.
I mean, yeah, my two-word review, the Kurt Russell, what was it, the Christmas Chronicles, Christopher Columbus. I mean, he should have stopped after he discovered America.
Yes.
Fucking hell. Chris Columbus, he wrote Gremlins, and you go, why haven't you got any edge to you? Although there is one bit where there's an elf with a chainsaw, and it's like you go, fucking hell! Like, that's a moment. There's one good bit. There's one bit where you go, this is actually really kind of, like, brilliant. Where, there's a bit when Santa Claus is in prison and he's singing like Elvis, because obviously Kurt Russell was Elvis. in both the films Elvis and 3,000 Miles to Graceland. So there's a bit where Elvis is in prison singing a song in prison, and in the cell next to him there are these and he magically, because he's Santa, he magically makes everyone into musicians and backing singers and stuff like that. So there's these three women in the cell next door and they're the backing singers, and you go, are they prostitutes?
And also, do you
are they prostitutes? And is the reason why they're in a separate cell so they don't get attacked by the male prisoners?
Yeah, probably. Yeah.
It's like,
do you have men and women prisoners in the same pit?
No, you don't have men and women prisoners in the same cell. It's just like, it was just like there was a moment where you just like go, there's so much to unpack in this one moment, and it was not. You know, there's a bit when he's miming piano, and then halfway through the piano solo, he stops miming the piano and he turns around and starts singing, and you go, there's still piano. I mean, we're not like, it's not like I'm too sophisticated for this. It's just like, these are just basic things where you go, you're getting it wrong. Yeah,
and it doesn't cut back to having a magic piano that plays itself or something.
No, it was a real chore to get through. There was the one bit where it was at the end, Mrs. Claus turns up, and
who plays Mrs. Claus?
Who do you think?
Oh, Goldie Hawn.
Yeah.
Oh, that's nice.
But I mean, it was ruined on Instagram. Goldie Hawn, before the film came out, posted a picture of her and Kurt Russell dressed up as Mr. and Mrs. Claus and saying Happy Christmas, and you go, that is fucking perfect. But she's not in it until the last 10 seconds of
bit
the
of
film,
a waste, isn't it?
And you go, oh, and then Kurt Russell bloody posted the same picture, and you go, yeah, all right, we seen your wife post that 10 days ago, mate. You're late to the party. Yeah. But I do love Kurt Russell, and I love Goldie Hawn, and them together as
golden couple.
A Goldie couple.
Yes.
But them two together as Father Christmas, you know, you just think Snake Plissken as Santa Claus, this is perfect. Mm. And then you watch it. And what you want is you want John Carpenter to...
come to Santa Claus.
Yeah. That'd be fucking...
I'll tell you what's a better movie than I remember it being. It was Santa Claus the Movie.
Claus the Movie is one of my favourite Christmas films.
It's great. In my head, I remember almost being a bit too sort of... snooty about it as a kid. I was watching it going, this is really good.
No, it always got one star in the Radio Times as well, and I loved it. It's the reason why I love Dudley Moore.
Right.
Over anything else that he ever did is Patch from Santa Claus the Movie. And the other thing that I worked out, which I think would actually fix, it's Chris Columbus again, Jingle All the Way. Mm-hmm. The thing that I think would fix Jingle All the Way is if it was kind of like True Lies, where Arnold Schwarzenegger was a spy whose one job was to get his kid toy. And then you go, yeah, this is a better film instantly. Yeah, yeah. Do you know what I mean? One of the things that appealed to Schwarzenegger about doing Jingle All the Way was the fact that he got to play a regular, everyday guy. And you go, that is the thing that is actually the least convincing thing about it. Mm. If he was a spy who was going around the world saving people...
And he's never had time.
He's never had time for his kid because he was saving. He's a good guy, but he's a bad dad, and like he is in True Lies. Mm. And then he's all his kid wants for Christmas is this hard to get toy.
And he wants his dad to be a superhero, and he sort of is. He's a bit of a hero of sorts.
Yeah.
He's like an action hero in real life.
Yeah, he's like James Bond, but maybe he's got all these gadgets, but he's got to keep them secret from his kids and his wife and all of that, and they just think, oh, you're such a shit dad. And then he goes, right, and then she goes, you've got the present, haven't you? He goes, no, I've just been blowing up Gorbachev, you know, whatever, you know. I forgot the toy. And then he's got to go off and get it. Then he goes and sees these underground Santas and gets in a fight with all of these Santas, and it's kind of like... Then at the end, he has to put on a rocket pack and fly around and do all this stuff, but it's because he's a James Bond spy and he knows how to do it. And then he gives his kid the gift, the toy. Instantly, you go, that's the film, right? It's a spy that is actually, but his one problem that he's got is getting a toy. He can defeat all of the biggest villains on the planet, you know, but the one thing that he can't do is get a fucking 12-inch plastic toy for his kid, you know? And I think that... I wish that they'd made that film.
Yeah, yeah.
I would watch that. But I think Jingle All the Way is unwatchable bullshit. The only good Christmas film, I think, is Santa Claus the Movie. I think that's fair enough to say. All right, so we're going to read some...
reviews.
We've got some fan mail. We've actually genuinely got some fan mail. So keep sending in your dick pics. And and we've got some...
Don't.
So keep sending in your dick pics.
Don't. Please don't.
So, what's the button that I'm going to press now? I'm going to press. Sorry, I'm a bit rusty.
That's the one.
Is it this one? No. No, I think it's this one, isn't it?
You want a bit of yeah, love that.
There we go.
Fan
club. A 2-hour week. 5 stars.
Who's it from?
It's from Raycop 3.
Raycop 3.
With 2 P's.
1-3.
What a treat to spend 2 hours in the company of Nick and Nat. Nick's lengthy but equally passionate and spot-on reviews have inspired me to see
Some great films.
He is fortunate to have such a lovely, gravelly voice. You don't want him to stop. I have rekindled an interest in Dario Argento.
Did we mention him?
And I don't remember mentioning Dario Argento.
But maybe.
Maybe he's come up.
Once.
I was late that one episode. Maybe it's that one. And I have rekindled an interest in Dario Argento, and I am finding out about films and genre I would never have known about! Exclamation mark.
You do acting, don't you?
There have been too many highlights to mention, but the 15-minute discussion on Frank Skinner with JW, that's Josh Widdicombe, was a firm favourite, along with Nick's numerous stories about trips to the theatre. And his antics. That was a bit Josh Widdicombe. Theatre. I'm talking, but I'm run out of breath. Was a firm favourite, along with Nick's numerous stories about trips to the theatre and his antics after appearing on Drunk History. It gets better each week and just wish it could be longer.
Come on, we can't do it longer.
Deserves an array of 5-star reviews. Thanks, Nick and Nat. You lovely people.
And loads of stars, yeah?
1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14.
14
stars. That is...
What's it out of? Though?
2 5-star reviews and 1 4-star review. So you're still a cunt, I'm afraid, Raycop. I can't believe you gave us a 4. You absolute pillock. Now, that was our review, and we've got some.
Hang on, we've got 2 international American listeners now.
We're talking about Well, he's I've already said good morning to him, John Garrido.
Yeah. Real Editor John.
At Real Editor John. Give him a follow. I've not ever seen him write anything of specific interest, but give him a follow, why not? Morning, John. He's our American. And new fan, Michael Scagnelli.
That's a cool name.
That's
hey,
like,
get Scagnelli in here.
Scagnelli?
Yeah. Scagnelli, we want your gun and your badge.
Absolutely. Absolutely what I was thinking. I was thinking he sounds like one of the Untouchables. And also John Garrido as well.
Yeah, Garrido and Scagnelli.
Obviously Garrido would shoot second.
Yes.
They're back. First time I'm listening live from the US. Looking forward to some good movie talk. Are you in the US, are you, Michael? Fuck off. Unbelievable. It's like when your mate gets back and he goes, oh, have you got any English money? I've only got dollar bills. And you go, oh, yeah, have you? Yeah, have you been away, have you? Your phone. They're back. Yes. First time I'm listening live from the US, unfortunately. Unfortunately, I've got a life. Oh, up yours, Scagnelli. I want your badge on my desk by midday. It's now.
But do tell your friends, Mike.
Tell your friends at 58. It's lovely, lovely, lovely to hear from you both. Thank you. Keep that 5-star review poured in from 3 weeks ago. We didn't quite make 100, did we? That's a shame. But we got to 94. 92 if you count if you discount the 2 4-star reviews, but please. I mean, I'm not going to beg. That's beneath me. I'm not like those other podcasts.
We're not even a podcast.
We're not a podcast. We're a radio show. We're a fully fledged radio show.
Not like podcasts.
We're not in competition with podcasts.
No.
You know, we are a radio show.
We're basically the same as Steve Wright in the afternoon.
You listen to us live or not at all. Or later as a download in podcast format. But it's a live radio show. So what comes out of our mouths live is what stays on the air. It's fucking terrifying as well.
It is. It is sometimes worrying, isn't it? Some things we say and I go,
I mean, that went out, didn't it?
Is that the end of my career? Is that have I ruined 10 years of good work?
We need to do these quickly, don't we?
So let's do the fan. Let's do the
mail.
We've had some actual mail posted in the post. I think it's Christmas.
Oh wow! I think these are Christmas presents. Hang on, it looks like we've got one each.
Okay.
One for you now.
Oh my god, it's really lovely. It's really wrapped. Well, although wrapped. I do think that maybe because it's come out of an Amazon box, it was. No, it's actually.
No.
Okay, Claire. Tunic. Just a little Christmas care package. Merry Christmas, Claire. Are we meant to be. This is when.
I hope it's not an animal or something like a puppy. It's been here all Christmas.
This is when you open.
We've been
it.
Off the air for a month, the
it's
poor
just
thing.
A collection of pubes and. Oh my god! Oh my god. Oh, that's so sweet. You can't see this at home, but it's very sweet. Oh my god.
Oh wow.
Oh my god. We've gone to some effort here.
Oh crikey, there's all kinds of things.
Oh wow.
It really is a Christmas care package that includes things like Gaviscon.
Got Gaviscon, Nurofen, a box of
tissues,
and I mean I can use these all year round.
That's a bit of a some breath freshener, which isn't very nice.
Lipsil.
Oh my goodness.
Honey and lemon menthol. Some sort of nuts. Oh, Whitworth Shots nuts. A Terry's chocolate orange. A face mask and a stocking that has my name written on it.
Oh my goodness!
Have you got one with my name written on it? Or have
you got your own? I've got a stocking. Oh wow!
And a card. I've got a Terry's chocolate orange at home on my shelf. Do you know that?
What do you mean? With your
I've got a Terry's chocolate orange at home on my shelf. Do you know why?
Why?
I've had it there for about 5-6 years. Do you know why?
No.
Because I went to the premiere of Alpha Papa.
Oh, yeah.
And on everyone's seat, we all got a Terry's chocolate orange
lovely.
That had been personally smashed in.
Yes.
So they're all on kind of like, what do you call it? Soiled. Not soiled. But yeah, all of the Terry chocolate orange were personally bashed in.
Claire. Thank you. What a lovely gift.
I'm not going to read that live because, oh my God. Oh my God. I see why she sent us tissues now. No, not really. I haven't read it. And then we've got, that's very kind of you, Claire.
Thank you very much, Claire.
If only we'd got it before Christmas, Natalie. It would have been.
I can't hear you, Natalie.
Would have been very useful.
We've also got another. Wow, more gifts! Crikey, it really is Christmas.
Is this the thing? Oh, by the way, I'm wearing Ash vs. Evil Dead socks, which somebody sent me for my birthday. And they are so fucking comfortable, and I love them.
That's from Karen.
I think we'll read this out when.
Yeah, you better have, just in case. Oh, that's yours. Looks like the two different things. And we've got a card. We'll have to read these later, I'm afraid, Karen.
We'll read them when we're playing your song. Maybe.
On.
Got a book? A book. That's the trouble with books is they look like DVDs, don't they? The Anger Chef by Anthony Warner. Bad Science and the Truth About Healthy Eating. This book will allow you to enjoy food with less guilt. It might even save lives. Bit of a neg. But
I've got the complete guide to running.
Oh, wow. Okay.
I mean, I do struggle with running, so it's very handy, and I'm sure it's from. It comes from a good place.
Turns out you can judge a lot about a person by the gifts that they give. Turns out Karen's a bit of a cunt. So we're going to play.
Thank
you very much, Karen. We're playing Kate Bush, are we?
Oh, Kate Bush, yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Going to play a song, and then we'll see you in 5 minutes.
So who knows? street and who taps me on the shoulder. I turn around, but you're gone. I've got a hot push with you.
I love a song that ends in a gong.
It is, isn't it? I used to have a big gong.
Lovely stuff. That was Kate Bush, Hammer Horror.
Yes, it was. I like that song a lot.
That was your choice.
It was my choice.
You did that. That was good. Just to say, thank you again to Claire and Karen for.
Oh yeah, really.
Stuff.
Actually, thank you very much.
I read the letters that backed up the gifts in the break, and sorry for calling you cunts. So we're now back in the studio. with our guests today, comedian. Comedian, Jordan Brooks. Jordan Brooks, why not?
Oh, why not?
Why not?
Why not?
You're one of my favourite comedians at the moment.
You've not seen me.
I've not seen you do an hour.
Have you not?
Never seen you do
an hour. Is there a reason for that?
I think mainly because I've done a few gigs with you.
That's enough.
I haven't gigged in a year, though, so maybe the last time I saw you was at the Wheat Sheaf.
The Miller.
The Miller, that's
yeah,
it. The Miller.
Yeah. I think I
watched you, and you didn't watch me.
I knew what was coming. I knew what was going to happen, and I didn't need the memory of it. Like, I wanted to retain the memory of the last time I saw you.
Why? I get better and better.
The audience didn't want what we had to offer.
And it was a horrible night. It was absolutely
full room, complete indifference. It was it was brutal.
It was really weird. It was quite a good lineup as well. Yeah, but you were really good.
Oh, thanks, man.
But the best I saw you was, where was it? It was on Essex Road, the Queen's Head. I saw you at the Queen's Head. You've done the Queen's Head, haven't you?
Probably.
Yeah.
Which one's that?
You definitely are.
The old Queen's Head. The Laugh Out London gig.
Oh, yeah. I know. Yeah. That's a fun one, isn't it?
Yeah, really good.
Yeah.
You did Edinburgh this year?
I did.
Yeah. We are on the radio now, so can you just stop being so fucking monosyllabic? we've had this problem in the past, and we've never mentioned it.
Yeah. And I'm just very reticent because I don't want you to call
stop
me a cunt.
Using words I don't know the meaning of. Fucking up, Natalie. Look at reticent and bring it up on my monitor so now that I can
this.
Reticent. Am I saying it right? What a cunt! He is a cunt. First thing you do, you're one of my favourite comedians, and he instantly said bullshit as if it's some sort of ploy. Like we've brought him in here as some sort of trick. The bottom line is, Jordan, is that I don't watch a lot of comedy anymore because
that's fair. It's hard to watch an hour, though. Do you know? It's hard to sit through a whole hour of one person.
No, I don't know. I saw Lucy Pearman just before Christmas.
Oh, she was very good, actually. She's really good.
And you were meant to do Fugfest, but you cancelled at the last minute because you were ill.
Yeah, I was. Yeah,
which is a shame. But we'll have you next year.
Yeah, thanks. That'd be lovely. Did it go well?
No, it was awful.
Really?
Yeah, really bad.
What happened?
Well, in actual fact, we were doing it. We do it for Shelter every year, which is an amazing charity that looks after homeless
people. And did they lose
people.
Money this year?
Well, yeah.
Well, I had some expenses when I did it. I suppose.
At the end of it, actually, yeah. Shelter owed us money.
Yeah.
And I felt very bad about that. And
have they paid that invoice yet?
No, they didn't. So I just took a jacket off a guy in the road. Turned out he wasn't homeless, so that was fine.
Okay.
But yeah, it was bad time. It was one of the worst charity gigs I think that's ever been associated with Shelter.
I'm so sorry to hear that.
No, it went really well.
Do it again next year though, because we actually made
absolutely.
Money.
Absolutely, it sounds great.
And actually, it's very few gigs we make money from at the end of it.
I made a lot of money out of it at the end of it. That's the thing. I mean, I say, you know, if as long as I make £5,000 off of the gig,
it's worth doing.
Anything on top of that, I will donate to Shelter.
Absolutely.
But sadly, we made about £495. So.
It's all right for you, really. Really, isn't it? I mean, not ideal, I guess, but it's all right.
Well, I wasn't out of pocket because you know, I buy Advocar for it and mince pies, and that's not free.
No.
So once you deduct £17.50, then everything else is mine, and then on top of the £5,000, yeah. Then it's Shelter.
I don't forget though; that's tax deductible as well, though. So
I'm not going to forget that, mate. Unlikely. But Lucy Pearman, yeah.
Yeah, great. Yeah, really good.
Yeah, what do you think?
Great. Yeah. Really, really, really great.
Jordan, how do you feel about drinking out of a mug that has the name Mark written on it and has a big chip
and
out
a big
the
old
side?
Chip, like a big old aggressive chip, not just like a tiny little...
I mean, that
little,
cut your lip, wouldn't it?
Yeah. I mean, I think it already has.
Right.
But, like, it's one of those chips that looks like someone's done it purposefully. Do you know what I mean? Like, they've laid a little trap on the rim for you.
I'm all about traps on the rim.
Yeah, I love a trap on the rim, isn't it?
Does this back banter about... So if you go and see you live, is it generally sort of sexual innuendo? And
why it's so hard to watch for an hour. Because you get about a minute in and you go, oh, this is going to be hellish.
Yeah.
I don't want this to have happened to me. So I understand why Nick's never
You're
seen
it. You're very much
hour.
Like the 21st century Dick Emery, aren't you?
Yeah, they have said that. Brewster Sauer's is full of comparisons.
No, go on. Don't describe direct. But
this was your third?
Fourth. Yeah.
And
yeah,
you, yeah. What I quite like is
to be fair to me, I've never been up in Edinburgh doing a month at the same time as you.
When were you last in Edinburgh?
Doing a month?
Yeah.
2013.
Oh, really? Oh, wow. Okay. Yeah, no, 2015 was my first hour. So I'd done four in a row.
Yeah. Going to do a fifth?
Yeah, I think so. I'm thinking about it at the moment. I don't know for sure, but I'm like 70% there. I'm going to do it. It's just that commitment. Like, once you've decided, because I don't know what I'm going to do for it necessarily. So it's just taking that, you know, it's just making that commitment, really.
Yeah, but I think that's the commitment is the first step towards writing a show, I think. I was talking to another comedian who's a named comedian.
Oh, yeah, go on.
Oh, yeah.
Not going to drop
their name.
Not going to drop their name.
Nick Hancock.
Not going to drop their name. It wasn't Nick Hancock.
Okay. David Baddiel.
Dick Emery.
Okay. That's all of them, isn't it?
Yeah, he says so. That he won't book a tour until he's written 98% of his show.
That's too much.
And then it's just...
That's basically finished.
Yeah, I'm the inverted version of that.
I think not 98%, but I think he was like saying that if he's got to do 2 hours, he'll have written an hour and 45 minutes and he'll just have 15 minutes to finish off. And then you go... And I've gone to gigs...
With no material. Yeah. I've sat on long train journeys for hours and thought at any point I could get my notebook out, and I don't. I just stare forward.
I get very anxious. Like, and it's not just stage fright or anything like that, but like anxiety. So when I know that there's a gig coming, my whole brain and body shuts down, and I can just about get on a train and function on that level.
Mm.
But and I know I've got my notebooks in my bag, but to actually think about getting them out, there's something about me that works. And it's the same with auditions, where I never prepare enough than I should. Because there's something about it, when I know that there's something coming, my whole brain shuts down,
yeah.
And then I only kick into gear when it's too late. And that's my career.
Do you like previewing with people who, on the way there, will say, oh, God, I've got like, honestly, I've got like 10 minutes and I'm having a horrible time. and you go, oh, and it makes you feel a bit better. But then they'll be on first, and it's like, well, you just lied, didn't you? Because you've got, you've just absolutely lied.
I don't know what the point of that is. Yeah, it's the same with at school when people are talking about, oh, I haven't done any revision.
Yeah.
And they have. They've done all the revision.
Yeah. And it just makes you feel better for a bit. And then you watch it and go, well, why did you say that? Because it's obviously not true. I think people like to act, it seems cooler, doesn't it, to say, actually, I haven't done the prep.
Oh, I mean, I've seen people do great shows, and then as I'm you know, filtering out, or I see them afterwards, and they go, oh, I hated that. That was absolutely awful. And I'm like, you're not impressing me by being cool about this. Like, I want to know that you cared and invested in it, because you know.
Would you rather they come up and go, yes, I'm brilliant. Take that. Follow that.
But I would also say that there are kind of like, there are not always, but a lot of the time there are shows that are really good in kind of like April, May, June, and they've all written, and then you never hear about them again.
There's a lot of,
and it's just not like they go up there, and it's just like, that's a really good show, and you've written it. But like, I think part of the panic is what makes my shows when they work good. But also, there was that story about Josie Long, wasn't there? And she wrote her, she had a show written, and then she threw it out, and then she wrote a new one on the train on the way up and did that, and then she got nominated, didn't she?
Was that Cara Josephine? Was that one?
I don't know. I've never seen
it. I mean, it was great. It was an incredible show.
But you worked with her.
Yeah, I didn't know that was a thing. But yeah, she wrote
it on the way up, and I think sometimes I think comedy is about good writing sometimes, but sometimes it's about spontaneity. It's about,
absolutely, it is. I mean, there's like, I think every show I've done, bar the most recent one, which you saw in Edinburgh, Nathaniel, it's always been thrown together last minute, June, July. I sort of know what it is, but it just will suddenly all fall into place. Whereas this one last year was a bit more constructed, so it had to be planned a lot more in advance. Yeah. So I didn't enjoy that process as much as having a very loose framework within which I can just throw whatever in.
But also, I think for both of you, I know you did a lot of previews for this show, but when I watched it, I was going, how did you even preview
any of
this?
Well, I was only able to preview half of it. So actually the other half, the sort of secret half, had to be basically built in Edinburgh in the first few days, and as you know, having seen it, like, once it's locked in, it's sort of there. Like, you can't keep tweaking it.
And you're just on rails then, aren't you?
You basically, and I think like that's sort of what I've learned, I think, is that sort of took away an aspect of my act that makes it, I think, enjoyable for people, which is that unpredictability.
it took away the enjoyable bit.
It kind of did, because it meant that it was on rails, it was just playing out, there was no room for those spontaneous moments that people enjoy.
Yeah, I know exactly what you mean. Although, and it's nice to see that you're being less reticent. If you're listening at home,
what does that mean, Nick?
It means not revealing one's thoughts or feelings readily.
Okay.
And it's nice to know that revealing your thoughts or feelings readily anymore, or you are revealing them too readily, maybe. But I would say that when you talk about stuff on tracks, there was two bits, and so I did my musical last year.
Oh yeah, yeah.
And that's obviously a musical, which is, and there's no talking in it, and it's all so that is as much on tracks as it's actually on musical tracks, where it's as much as tracks as, once it starts, the show is like 51 minutes. And it's 51 minutes from beginning to end, and then there's like clapping in between. So,
oh, is there?
But like, well, you'd hope, right?
With clapping, it's what, 48?
You write a musical now, and I will be the first person in the line to fucking support you, all right?
I loved it.
You work as hard as me, right? And I'll be there every fucking step of the way, right? Right, but I've had it, right, with you fucking having a go at me. Like
for writing a musical.
Dissing my career, when I am basically yanking this show up by its fucking shoelaces. I'm telling you anecdotes while you're reading off the fucking monitor, and I've got to pretend like you're present in the room. They can't hear that at home on the radio, people that are listening. They can't hear your disinterest in my long anecdotes, right? But I've got to see your dead eyes while I'm telling you these fucking stories. Absolutely fucking not having you dissing my art form. Sorry, Jordan, that you had to see that. I very rarely lose my temper, but I'm absolutely seething right now.
So you wrote a musical last year, didn't you?
So I wrote a musical last year. Yeah. I didn't. I wrote it 11 years ago this year. I might be doing it in Edinburgh. So buy your tickets. but so that's as much on track. And the things that we did it three nights, and the first night it was a new cast, and we'd had like three rehearsals, and we did it, and it was all flying by the seat of your pants. And so the words are the same, the costume changes are the same, the props are the same, everything's the same, except for the fact that none of us knew what we were doing. And so those kind of spontaneous things and the mistakes and all of that actually is what makes... So the show is the show, and then all of like the random things that happen while you're doing the show are the things that make it really interesting.
Well, it makes it immediate and makes it and brings you in the room with people, and that's what you want to see. You want to see a human being trying to execute something, and like there's always funny in like there's always funny in failure
like a dog or a deer.
Yeah, man, that's what people come to see. They want to see a limping deer for an hour.
Judge, jury and executioner Jordan Brooks.
But I think like all I guess like every show I've done, it's almost like a consolation show. It's I've tried to do something and I've failed.
Absolutely.
And I've built that failure into the the show.
Absolutely.
Because that's what people want to see in a way.
This isn't the show that I wanted. Do you know what I mean? But the show that it ends up being, it ends up being something that that is better. It's controlled chaos. Where you kind of like, I've had to get to a point where obviously I've just said I get anxious and there's all these other things that mentally prevent me from doing the thing that I intend to do. So in the end, you have to go, that's just my process. That's just how I end
it's
up
just
doing
part of
it.
There is no method, I think, for any, like there is no strict method. I remember when I first started and I'd listened to Stuart Goldsmith's comedy Comcom podcast with the comedian, and I'd be like shaking my head in disbelief that people would have a system, that they would have a way of doing it, because I could never subscribe to that. And each show is different. Each show comes from somewhere different, and each show has a very unique development process.
When you were doing that and starting out, I struggle to imagine what you were doing in 5 and 10 minute spots and things.
Yeah. Well, that's how the shows are built. Is sort of in those moments, because I want to make sure that it's punchy and it's fun, and it also means that you can just have funny moments for the sake of it. That way it keeps the show sort of loose and not too wedded to its concept or whatever. You know, if you're sort of, if you've just got this hour of chaos that you've built up in short spots, and then you wrap a sort of framework around it where at the end you sort of go, I was depressed the whole time, and everyone goes, oh cool, and you know, they feel like they've watched something really satisfying, but actually it's been built in bits and then just sort of thrown together in July.
And you also seem like it's really difficult to talk about without people having seen it, isn't it? But are you confident in your abilities going in?
No, I have no idea. I don't know. I think part of the reason why this most recent show was very different was because it was an idea I had really early on. And then it was a case of just executing it. And I felt like there was an aspect of, like, perhaps me or, like, those doubts and anxieties that weren't as present.
Right.
And weren't playing as much of a part in the process, because it was, we've got this idea, let's execute it. And I had, like, producers on board who, like, explored all the logistics of it and made it happen. And it almost happened too neatly. Like, it was a good show, and I'm really pleased and proud of it, but it was a very different show to anything I've done.
Also, it's important to know that you go, oh, right, we did it like that.
Yeah.
And then taking the stuff that you liked about that process and then mixing it back in with the stuff that you like about the other.
Yeah, totally. But I don't have faith in what I'm doing at all. I never think, well, I've absolutely nailed that. I feel constantly like I'm a fraud.
I think that's what makes you good then.
I think so. And I think it is important to, even if you don't feel like that, is to, you know, we're talking about this sort of faux humility of going, oh, I don't know if that was good, or I've got nothing. It is bullshit, but in a way it's a psychological trick that you're playing on yourself as much as trying to be humble in front of others, because you're
setting yourself up so that it's okay to fail.
Yeah,
that's
you're
it.
Like going, oh well, I haven't done any work, and you're telling everyone, well, I haven't really done any work, and in actual fact you have done loads of work, And then when you go on and you're good, you go, yeah, good. It's worth doing all that. It's worth doing all that work.
I'm very good at
But in actual fact, I'm honest. And I go, I haven't done any work. And then people go, yeah, but you have. And then I go on and then they look at me afterwards and they go, fucking hell.
Why didn't you do some work?
I haven't done this in 2 months, Nick. And you're going, yeah, I know. But it doesn't work like that.
Stand-up's kind of a confidence trick anyway, isn't it? Or is for me anyway. I think it's all like a pretense.
There's nothing stopping anyone in the audience from getting up, leaving, throwing stuff at you, chatting, talking. There's nothing.
It's a miracle that they don't do any of those things.
Yeah.
Just the fact that there's a light on. Well, it's fucking mental as well, because it's simultaneously it's the art of performance, but it's also invisible performance, because I'll go on and I'll shout at people and I'll call people cunts and I'll do all that stuff and I'll sing and I'll have a breakdown and all that stuff, and people. Talk to me in real life and go, oh, you're not like you are on stage. And you go, yeah, it's an act. Like, that is an act. So there's something about being on stage as a comedian that people buy everything about you being on stage, but they also still know it's enough of a performance generally
to feel safe enough that they're not like just horrified
to shut up and watch it.
There's
lights, there's a microphone. You go, what about this? Do you think that it's not a performance?
I get it the whole time. I get people going, oh, you're nothing like how you are on stage. It's like, yeah, if I was, I would be dead. I would not be living.
I would have the
I'd
shit
have
kicked
hour,
out of
about
me.
An hour left.
I'd have about an hour left.
And then I'd take my life.
You're not like you were on stage. Oh, really? Yeah, you were amazing tonight on stage. You were brilliant.
It feels for you, Jordan, though. It's almost like you can almost see a different path with you, where there's almost like you go... It's weird because sometimes you think there's almost like another more sort of much more mainstream accessible side, isn't there?
Yeah,
and it sort of
yeah.
feels like, do you wrestle with that, or is that a device that you use to get people to... get on board with what you want to do?
I think I've always found it a more interesting challenge to get as many people in the room on board as possible, rather than coming out really archly and obscurely and you're immediately alienating people. If you come out, I mean, it's such a subtle difference between, say, going on stage as a character and going, oh, blah, 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 blah. Or going on stage and going, hey, when I'm really anxious, I go, whoa, 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 whoa. So when I go, whoa, whoa, everyone goes, oh, he's anxious. And it's just providing that simple context that gets more people on board. And I just think I think it's a more interesting challenge to make those perhaps more like niche ideas or more like challenging concepts accessible.
Because you are... you're from the way you describe your show, you probably don't imagine that your act... is high energy and it's smiling and it's very kind of welcoming and all your body language is like, yeah, and it's kind of come and join in and it's sort of and people, you know, for 10 minutes go, this is fun.
I feel safe and comfortable in my seat.
But it is, isn't it? And it does, you do go, God, there's another like weird world where you're that guy for an hour.
Yeah, and I've done it and I've tried it, but I just get bored and I just I think there's something more interesting you can do with getting everyone on board. I mean, particularly with this show that you saw, that the sort of concept of it was get everyone on board, be really nice and charming, and then then sort of slowly and gradually go to a place where it's impossible for them to conceive how it even began where it did.
Yeah, yeah.
So I think
people will totally have forgotten that by the end, right?
By the end, they're like, what the fuck was that? What, where did he went from A to B, but we can't even conceive of him ever being A, you know? And I think that's, that was the sort of the purpose of it.
Because I think some people almost go to your shows quite girded and quite like, they're a bit like, I've heard this is weird. And they must. And
so
I often, when I look around, I think people at the start are more like, this isn't what I was expecting.
Yeah, I was expecting a lot of fourth wall breaking and stuff. I was expecting characters, and actually it's very straightforward. It's pretty mainstream, I think, on paper. The subjects that I talk about are pretty, I would say, quite accessible and straightforward, quite simple.
Yeah, you think that. But there's always someone that doesn't know that Jack Nicholson was in 1989's Batman. Speaking of which, who starred with Colin Firth in Girl with the Pearl Earring?
Scarlett Johansson? Colin Firth?
Was it A?
Oh.
Charlize Theron? I mean, you got it.
Scarlett Johansson.
Was it B, Amy Adams?
Scarlett Johansson.
C, Anne Hathaway? Oof. Or D, Scarlett Johansson?
Scarlett Johansson.
Okay.
Could I go for Scarlett Johansson?
What is the name of the female ogre voiced by Cameron Diaz in Shrek.
It's Cameron Diaz.
What is the name of the female ogre voiced by Cameron Diaz
it's,
in Shrek?
It's Fiona.
It's multiple choice. Is it A, Philippa?
Fiona.
Is it
Philippa.
B, Fatima?
Fiona.
C, Penny? Or D, Fiona?
Fiona.
Who starred opposite Tom Cruise in Rain Man?
It was Dustin Hoffman.
Was it A, Jack Nicholson?
Dustin Hoffman.
Was it B, Gene Hackman?
Dustin
was
Hoffman.
Was it C, Al Pacino?
Can you imagine Dustin Al Pacino Hoffman. Doing it?
No.
D,
okay.
Dustin Hoffman.
Dustin Hoffman, would have thought.
All right.
In Mamma Mia...
Oh!
What is the name of Amanda Seyfried's character?
Oh, this is harder.
This is hard.
Don't like this one.
He's got three right, and then there's a hard one.
Yeah, not happy with this.
Okay, is it A, Sophie, B, Sienna, C, Simone, or D, Serena?
I'm going to go with Sophie.
Fucking hell, it's A, Sophie.
What? How did I know when I looked over through the window and saw the producer nodding at Sophie? How did I know?
Oh, you fucking absolute dick.
Oh, don't have it.
That one doesn't count.
All right, do another one.
All right, you can't just be fucking giving the... Just because he's a fucking guest, you can't be fucking giving him fucking help, can you? For fuck's sake, what are you doing with the monitor?
It's broken. My panel is broken.
Every time you do that, these two screens go off.
Oh, right? Do they?
They're blinking on and off, and I'm thinking, am I having a stroke? What's going on? This is taking your lack of interest in what's going on in the room to a whole new level. Right?
I'm trying to fix the show,
You know nothing of Dell screens, so why are you moving it around?
It's fixed now, isn't it? It's just at a funny angle. And I can't.
Sorry about
it.
This again, Jordan. I'm sorry.
It's all right.
This isn't helping that you two in there nodding away.
We might have to start this episode again, actually.
I'm angry! How many nights of the music. Jordan!
Yeah.
How many Nights of the Museum movies? I'm calming down.
Have you seen?
How many Nights of the Museum movies were made up to 2015?
Is it three?
It is three.
Is it? Oh, sweet.
That suggests as well that those cards came out in 2015.
Oh,
and they
absolutely.
all of the stuff case, about, The Force Awakens.
Yeah.
But
all
Force
of the
Awakens came out.
As of 2015.
But they came out at Christmas, didn't they?
Yeah, I think this came out Christmas 2015 as well.
Yeah.
How many Nights at the Museum movies? Oh, sorry. Was it A3, B5, C2, or D4? A3? That's weird that it's a road.
Yeah.
It's like saying how many Nights of the Museum movies were made up to
2015.
Was it
Night of the Museum?
Was it? Hang on, let me finish.
Sorry.
I've been doing all the heavy lifting today, Nat. Right? So it's ridiculous that you would interrupt me while I'm doing some more good work. A3, that's like a road, isn't it? That's like saying how many Nights of the Museum movies were made up to 2015. Sell Barnes Lane.
You
were, Nat.
I do like it, yeah. Well, if you're in a Night of the Museum, Jordan, what sort of funny comic character from history could you be that would interact with Ben Stiller?
I feel like they would make me be like some sort of Gollum-esque creature that would come to life. So
that
maybe
is
some
very
like extinct
fucking bleak. I feel like. What would you be if you could choose? And then your answer was, I feel like they would make me.
Yeah, absolutely.
Ben Stiller and his cronies would bully you.
You'd not be like a waxwork Albert Einstein or something that could wander around the museum.
Yeah, or like.
You'd be some sort of wanking
Einstein.
Chimp.
Yeah, sort of like.
From the Stone Age or something in the background or whatever.
Yeah, like a sort of Stone Age toddler or something.
You could be anything. Like, it's almost like saying if you could be any figure in history, what would you be, Jordan? Well, I feel like Ben Stiller would bully me into being an earthworm.
I would want to play some dumb thing that came to life, for sure. I wouldn't want to do the sort of whatever. Who was Ricky Gervais in it? Did he run the museum?
He was the museum manager.
He was the museum manager. Wow. See, that seems like a boring cameo. That seems like a dull one. So I would be something that sort of comes to life and terrorizes Ben Stiller, for sure. All right.
Yeah, good answer.
All right. What about you?
Oh, good question.
Thanks.
I feel like I'd be like, I don't know, like like a Roman or something.
A Roman, is it? Nick?
Alexander the Great or Rasputin?
Okay, lovely stuff. Well, you've had time, haven't you? You've had time,
so. What is the name of the Disney princess in Disney's Aladdin?
Is it Jasmine?
Is it A, Juliet? B, Jennifer?
Jasmine.
C, Justina?
Jasmine.
Or D, Yasmin?
Jasmine.
Yasmin.
Okay, what is the name of the ballet movie starring Natalie Portman?
Is it the Black Swan?
Is it A, The Red Shoes? B, White Feathers? C, Black Swan? Or D, Pink Tutu?
What I like about that is when they've come up with a multiple choice, someone's gone, well, Black Swan's the answer. What's the opposite of Black Swan? He's gone, White Feathers.
Dead dove, I don't know.
We've got to keep going until you get one wrong. Who plays the wicked stepmother in the 2015 version of Cinderella? Not to be confused with Jim Davidson's Cinderella. Is it...
I don't know the answer to this.
No, I don't know.
A, Kate Blanchet. B, Holiday Granger. C, Lily James. Or D, Helena Bonham Carter.
I'm going to go with Kate Blanchet. Is it? Absolutely cracking
stuff. Yeah, absolutely cracking stuff, yeah, but you did need the multiple choice that time. The whole point of this game, I think, is to never rely on the multiple choice. Who plays Jay Gatsby in the 2013 movie?
Leonardo DiCaprio?
Is it A, Carey Mulligan? B, Mulligan O'Hara?
It's
Leonardo DiCaprio. Yeah. Toby Maguire, Bradley Cooper. God, fucking hell, you're good at this. You're not good at this. It's a boring game, isn't it?
It's a
boring fucking game. Who stars with
Owen? My nan could get these right.
Who stars with Owen Wilson in Marley and Me?
Jennifer Aniston.
Was it A, Chocolate? Was it B, Cuddles? Was it C? It was Jennifer Aniston. I was pretending it was the dog.
Yeah, no, I got it.
But
funny.
Chocolate isn't the name of a dog. I've never known animal love. How about you, Jordan?
I'm not allowed to see the dog anymore. But
who is the most nominated? We've all thought about fucking a dog, Jordan. Very few of us would talk about it on live radio.
Or do it and be denied access.
Who is the most nominated actor in Oscars history?
I'm
going to go with Jack Nicholson.
Jack Nicholson?
Glenn, no. What's her name? The one from Adaptation.
That's such a weird describing the person that you're talking about.
Okay, give me the options.
Is it A, Dustin Hoffman? B, Meryl Streep?
Meryl Streep. Is it Meryl Streep?
Adaptation. Meryl Streep is famous for Meryl Streep. Glenn Close from Hook. The one that was in Hook. Dustin Hoffman, Meryl Streep. It was Meryl Streep, obviously.
Yeah,
it's a bit of a red herring there. Who is the most nominated actor in Oscars history?
Get with the times, Nick.
What is the first name of Ben Stiller's character
in
Meet the Parents?
Gaylord, isn't it?
Yeah. Absolutely. Okay. Who first played Spider-Man on screen in the 2002 movie?
Tobey Maguire. Can I just get it wrong and then we can stop doing this?
What is the first name of Rambo in the Sylvester Stallone movies? Really?
Chocolate.
Do you know, John?
No.
Do you know?
John.
Yeah, it is. Yeah.
Is it John?
Yeah.
Oh, for fuck's sake!
He starred with Leonardo DiCaprio in the 1996 movie Romeo and Juliet.
Yeah, fine.
Who is it, John?
Claire Danes.
Which martial arts expert starred in Double Impact and Street Fighter?
Wait, what? That's not a question.
Yeah.
Which martial arts expert?
starred in Double Impact and Street Fighter?
No.
Yeah.
That's amongst that, is it?
You know, it's actually much easier.
It's so fucking easy.
It's a really easy one.
It's not Jackie Chan?
No.
Jet Li?
No.
Was it A, Jet Li?
Jet Li.
B, Jean-Claude Van Damme?
Jean-Claude Van Damme.
Is it C, Jackie Chan, or D, Steven Seagal? He's back.
That's my club.
You got that wrong.
No, I didn't though. Well, I sort of did.
Well, you did.
Well, if I'd known the options, then I would have got
it. It was Jean-Claude Van Damme, yeah. Okay, well, we'll give you that. But fucking, we've got to play a song at some point, and we've got to play another game.
We've got the game to play after this.
Taylor Lautner plays which role in the Twilight movies?
I don't know.
Taylor Lautner plays which role in the Twilight movies?
Oh, I genuinely don't know. Does he play? He plays the werewolf.
Is it A, Jacob, B, Emmett, C, Edward, or D, Carlisle?
What do you reckon?
I think I know now. I reckon I've remembered it.
Emmett?
I know now because I reckon I've remembered the answer. Is it Emmett? No, it's not. It was A, Jacob. Were you Team Jacob or Team stuff. Edward, Nathaniel?
I'm Team Jacob.
I'm Team Edward. That's why we don't get on. I'm into sexy vampire boys. And you're into sexy werewolf boys.
Werewolf boys.
Right, we're going to play a song. What's your choice. What's your song, Jordan?
It's a song by Daniel Knox. It's called The Poisoner. Is this what you're playing now?
Yeah.
Oh, great. Yeah, have you heard it?
No.
Oh, so he's this guy I found about like 5 or 6 years ago, and he does sort of like boozy musical style stuff. It's like very, it's almost like Tom
Jacques
Waits.
Brel?
Yeah, sort of. But there's like he's got a little like deep baritone voice, but he sings like really bleak stuff. It's great. I really like him a lot.
Well, okay. It sounds big awful. Fan. Let's give it a go.
I loved you before, but I just forgot how. Can't stand the way you look at me now, and something's always the matter. Crying and whining and clatter. I come straight to bed, quiet as a mouse. Chase you all over the goddamn house, but you don't chase back. You can't even check one at the door, and she'll take you to places.
And we're back. It's actually not as bad as you sold it, Jordan. So thanks for that recommendation.
Thanks.
Lovely, lovely stuff. Maybe I should.
Nick and Nat's Fan Club on FUBAR Radio.
Why not?
Yeah, why not? We are back. We are back, not just back after the song, but we are back for the new year, 2019.
2019.
Any New Year's resolutions, Jordan?
Just to, I think, no. Absolutely nothing.
That's a shame. It started off really promising. It sounded like.
Well, I thought like if I just started saying stuff, then maybe something would kick in by the end. I was able to finish the sentence, but no. I think just look after myself better, probably. Look after myself physically and mentally a bit better.
So, what are you a fan of?
We always just say things that I'm a fan of.
ASMR.
Yeah, I love it.
Autonomous Sensory Meridian Response.
Yeah, do you guys watch it? You into it?
I've seen it. I know. I'm aware of what it is. It's like people cutting your hair and stuff, isn't it? And going, oh, that's a nice haircut.
great job. Yeah, lovely stuff.
What is it? I don't know what this is.
Like it is for headphones, isn't it?
Yeah, so it's actually similar technology that I used in my show last year, like binaural 3D sound. But it's this sort of. Do you ever get like a tingling sensation in your head? And it's quite nice and relaxing. And sometimes it'll run up and down your spine. Have you ever had that?
What do you mean?
So, like, say, like, someone's talking to you quite directly. Say, like, I always get it when someone's paying me very close attention. So if I'm, if I go to a shop and someone's, like, you know, showing me where something is, or I've just started a new job and someone's showing me the ropes, and it's that sort of thing that would generate this sort of tingly feeling.
Do you know what? Maybe I said haircut, because often when I get my haircut and they're doing massaging my head in the shampoo,
and
I go, this is nice.
That's it. That's
exactly it. And it's funny, because I get my haircut by like an 85-year-old Greek man.
And you love it.
I love it.
Absolutely love it, yeah.
He often chats to me, gives me a sweet as well. He does. He gives me a little sweet.
When people touch my head, I like that.
You like it? Well, there you go. So maybe you should watch one of these videos. I fall asleep to one almost every night. So people will put on these videos on YouTube of like emulating those scenarios. So they'll pretend to cut hair, or they'll pretend to be showing you around a shoe shop, and it's just people in their bedrooms with a green screen behind them. Some people prefer like loud noises, so it'll be people leaning in close to the mic and making sort of guttural noises or going. That sort of thing, or like clicking, that kind of thing.
Oh, I wouldn't like that.
No, some people that sort of is. I think that sort of hits people's thresholds.
What's your favorite? Is it a bit like watching the log fire video on Netflix?
Yeah, I think it has the same sort of relaxing sensation. But yeah, my favorite.
I don't find that relaxing.
Do you not?
I get very warm, and I find it oppressive.
Oh, really?
Mm. What should happen is after about 10 minutes, one of the logs should roll off. As if it's on your carpet.
Yeah,
something.
And the rug catches fire, and the whole house
screaming.
Burns down. Yeah, you just hear very distant screaming. Get in the car. I would love that. 45 minutes of people trying to decide what's valuable.
That sounds hellish.
Well, you just said that you didn't like the fire, so
I don't know.
So
fire,
that's put forward a proposal for
the fire, the
a
fish
narrative.
Tank. I find that all very, although preferable to the Christmas Chronicles. Which is its own dumpster fire.
Oh, it's absolutely appalling.
Did
it's
you watch it?
Appalling. Yeah, of course I did.
Fucking hell.
Yeah, that scene in the prison is one of the worst things I've ever seen in my life.
With the prostitutes.
Why do they bring those women in?
They're protected behind bars, so they don't get raped and murdered by the male prisoners.
I was watching it with someone and she went, oh, they've been brought in to sing for a bit. Yeah, absolutely.
It was fucking weird. Just fucking weird.
Yeah, I didn't like it. Didn't like it one bit.
I liked it one bit.
Oh, what? Which bit?
Just the bit with Goldie Hawn at the end.
Why did they make such a big deal out of revealing who it was?
Because you weren't meant to know, and then Goldie Hawn did like a.
But what was the reveal? Like, did people?
It's Goldie Hawn.
Do people think she's dead? What was
They're married in real life.
Oh, they're married in real life.
They're like Hollywood's dream couple.
Oh, that's so indulgent.
They're the only couple that have ever been married in Hollywood,
and that seemed to be really happy and like.
I don't think they're married.
Oh, maybe not.
I don't think they're married. I think they've just stuck together all this time, and they really like each other. She's older as well, and so it's kind of like this kind of at the time an unconventional relationship where they met on a film and then they got together years later, and then they've stuck together all this time, and she's had kids from another marriage, and he's brought them all up, and they're just like America's dream couple.
Oh, that is nice. Okay,
and then
okay,
she comes, and he's Santa like Claus, and you go, well, if Mrs. Claus has got to come in at the end, who's that going to be? It's only going to be Hollywood legend Goldie Hawn. But then she fucking posted pictures of it on Instagram, and then you go, that's the only thing of note in the whole film.
Yeah, yeah.
And I would have like a whole, I'd have a whole film of them two in the North Pole.
Cooking sitting biscuits. Around the fire. You'd watch a sitting crackling fire with them sat next to it.
Absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely. But fucking hell, those fucking trolls, the CGI trolls.
What were they, and why did they think that that was a thing that, that would appeal to anyone?
But it was like the tone was so, like the bit with the troll with the chainsaw, the elf
with
the chainsaw.
Oh, he's going to cut his dick off.
And it's just like, oh my God, fucking hell.
It just couldn't decide what rating, like, what, was this for adults, was this for kids? Like,
when I saw the poster with the elves on, and as Chris Columbus thing, I thought, oh, is it like Gremlins, but with elves?
Well, there were bits of it that were kind of like, this isn't appropriate for kids in a Gremlins kind of way, but it wasn't done with any class or any... Oh. It was shit.
Yeah.
It was proper shit.
It was really bad. I can't wait to watch it every year.
But you go, no, it's on Netflix, of course. That Sherlock Holmes film that's come out, Holmes and Watson.
Is it good?
No. Apparently it's so bad that they tried to get rid of it to Netflix, and Netflix said, we don't want it.
Do you know what? Oh, wow.
So they had
I've
to release it at the cinema.
It seems to be nowhere near as bad as people are talking about, but it's not good. Do you know what I mean? It's like, it's just not that good.
I really like John C. Reilly and Will Ferrell. So
yeah, but it's from the director of Get Hard.
Is that a good one?
No.
Is that's Will Ferrell as well, isn't
that's
it?
That's a horrible one. That's where Will Ferrell... has to learn from Kevin Hart, who's a black man,
he's about to go to prison.
How to go to prison. And you go, hang on a minute, awful. Just the whole concept of it is disgusting. Right. And then there's bits where Will Ferrell has to go into a toilet and learn how to suck a dick. Because he's going to prison. He's going to get raped in prison. So then Will Ferrell has to...
Did they?
And you go, fucking hell. And Rob Schneider made a film a few years ago called Big Stan, which was basically the same film where Rob Schneider has to go through rape training so that he can go to prison. Jesus. And you go, this is... And this is like, you go, oh my God, it's disgusting. But you go, isn't Will Ferrell kind of like a step above that? And no, he's not. It's just fucking disgusting.
That's a real shame. Have you seen Rob Schneider's sitcom on Netflix? Real Rob.
Oh my God.
What a piece.
Fucking hell. Written by, directed by, produced by, starring, and his whole family are in it. And fucking hell. It's, Real Rob.
It's absolutely horrific. It's the same. I mean, I put it in the same category as like Mark Maron's sitcom as well, where it's like troubled older comedian genius man with a suspiciously younger partner.
Yeah, but it's kind of like taking stuff from Louis, taking stuff from Seinfeld, taking stuff from Curb Your Enthusiasm. So there's bits where, and then there's bits where they're doing straight to camera kind of talking. Mm. It's like so many things all in one. So you've got like Rob Schneider in front of a brick wall doing stand-up comedy.
Yeah.
You've got Rob Schneider doing a talking head interview to the camera team. You've got Rob Schneider doing, it's kind of like Rob Schneider getting into scrapes with his celebrity. They put everything into this thing and it's kind of like, what the fuck is this? Oddly, Rob Schneider turning up in the Adam Sandler special is one of the highlights.
It really is. It was really fun. It was really fun and silly. Yeah.
But yeah, Real Rob is like, wow.
Well worth a watch.
Wow.
Yeah. I'm really fascinated at the moment with that particular genre of like vehicle for comedians, particularly Mark Maron's one as well, is just so self-indulgent.
You think?
I think like Louis just about got away with it because it was.
Oh, he got away with it for years.
Very away for years.
Sorry,
absolutely. Because it felt very altered. It felt like a very distinctive world that he was bringing people into. But
You're doing it, but you're not waiting for me to do the music.
No, I was just going to introduce
the concept. You're getting
ready
to do your bit. Because you've gone, right, it's my bit now.
And I'm just worried about the time.
Yeah, well, we're all worried about the time, mate. We're coming to the end of the show, guys.
Boiler!
We come to the end of the show, and we've got time for a game, and then we're going to introduce the final song. So, without further ado, take it away, Nathaniel.
So this is the game, Jordan. It's called Better or Worse, and you have to say whether the next person on this list is better or worse than the person before it. Starting with Sarah Jessica Parker, but is Gene Wilder better or worse than Sarah Jessica Parker?
Oh, better.
Better, correct.
Better than Sarah Jessica Parker?
Yeah. Is Frankie Howard better or worse
than Gene Wilder.
Worse.
Better.
Worse, oh, I'm afraid. Come on.
Better.
Is it what?
At Pompeii?
Yeah.
Come on.
It is good.
Come
at Pompeii.
On. Where's Gene Wilder's at Pompeii? Yeah, where's Gene Wilder's at Pompeii?
Are you seriously saying that Frank Harris' output is better than Gene Wilder's?
Where's Gene Wilder's at Pompeii?
That's not what I'm saying.
Where's Gene Wilder's at Pompeii?
More valuable contribution to the arts.
Where's Gene Wilder's at Pompeii?
Frankie Howard.
Where's Gene Wilder's at Pompeii?
All right, Jordan, got you this time. Is Aretha Franklin better than Frankie Howard?
Yes.
Better?
Better.
Where's Aretha Franklin's at Pompeii? Where's Aretha Franklin's at Pompeii?
Is Idris Elba better or worse than Aretha Franklin?
Worse.
Worse.
Worse, yeah, he's worse, yeah. Is Michael J. Fox better or worse than Idris Elba?
Better.
He's better.
Better, he is better. Is Jonah Hill better or worse than Michael J. Fox?
Worse.
Worse.
He is worse.
Yeah.
Is Benny Hill better or worse than Jonah Hill?
Where's Benny Hill's at Pompeii?
He's worse.
I think Benny Hill's really good.
Jonah Hill has directed and produced stuff that is
so
probably
Benny Hill.
More. No, oh, well, yeah, what? Name one thing.
Benny Hill show. yeah, go on. Jonah Hill's all right, isn't he? Yeah,
Jonah Hill's okay. He's
fine. He's all right.
He lost weight, didn't he? Put it back on again, and then he lost it again.
Is Ben Kingsley better or worse than Benny Hill?
Better, because he was in Sexy Beast, and that was great.
Okay, yep. Is Carrie Fisher better or worse than Ben Kingsley?
Carrie Fisher's better.
She is better.
She wrote notes from the edge. Is that what?
Carrie Fisher's better than Ben Kingsley.
Yeah,
she's Princess Leia.
Yeah.
Stop over intellectualising it. Oh, she wrote
Ben Kingsley's more Princess Leia.
Is that
cake.
It?
That's it.
Princess Leia cake. Oh, really? I love it. So that is the end of the show. Did you enjoy coming on this week, Jordan?
Up until the last 2 minutes, I was having a really fun time, and then that was
eight.
You got eight. That means that you are up there with Claudie Blakely, Suze Kempner, Paul F. Taylor, and should we do like a New Year, New List?
Hey, we should.
Paul F. Taylor, Rebecca Shorrocks, Mark Smith, and Carl Theobald. You're not as good as John Niven, Sean Harris, Daniel, Lawrence Taylor, Michael Legg, Solomon Gray, but you are better than everyone, and all the way down to Sam Ashurst with three.
Oops.
So, yeah.
Oops.
Oops. What happened there?
Oops.
Yeah. He's an expert as well. So, thanks for coming in.
Thanks for having me.
Thank you.
Lovely to see you. This is our final song to play. Oh, no, I haven't fucking lined it up. Oh, God. Jesus Christ. Nathaniel, pick up some slack. I've done it now. Doesn't matter. You had your chance. I want much better things from you next week.
Oh, love.
I think I've been swayed. Something weird and it don't look good. Who you gonna call? Ghostbusters. I ain't afraid of no ghost. I ain't afraid of no ghost.
You've been listening to a FUBAR Radio podcast. For more information, go to FUBARradio.com.